but that's the old me. Out in out of my windows rolled down, 'cause I don't care anymore, said I don't care.
Let's go.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you are having a great day today. Hope we can make it a little bit better by bringing you up to date on everything that's going on in entertainment and pop culture. You know, we, of course, can listen to the show live on Saturdays here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620 at 4 o'clock. Or you can listen anytime via the podcast version of this show, which you can get anywhere you get your podcasts. Always feel free to drop us a line at gopensacola@gmail.com. Let us know where you're listening, how you're listening, who you're listening with, what you're wearing. No, I'm just kidding. I don't need to know what you're wearing. But do let us know that you're listening and what you'd like to hear us discuss on this show in the future. Joining me to do so, as he does so very often on this show, please welcome Jeremy Branch.
Thanks for having me back. I'm excited to be here. This is, in a way, a kind of unofficial continuation to a previous episode of Let's Go Pensacola, where we discuss some of the wins, some of the failures over at Warner Brothers, HBO, and everything in between. And so I'm just kind of looking forward to talking about the future of the Warner Brothers DC slate. And in fact, it's also kind of a continuation to a show where we discuss Marvel and its future. So there's a couple companion pieces. If you're not a regular listener of the show and you kind of want to hear our thoughts on those topics, you can go back and check those out. But yeah, Julio, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, you know, equal time and all that. We're 5 weeks away from James Gunn's Superman really kicking off the DC slate on the big screen. We have had, you know, a couple other things out there. We've had the Creature Commandos animated series on, about to be HBO Max again.
Uh-huh.
And we've had the Christopher Reeve documentary is actually the first official theatrical release from DC Films. If you miss that, it's obviously not, you know, part of the universe or anything like that. It's not, you know, but that was the first film released with that label on it. So a little bit of trivia for you there in the future, if this does go on to become a long-standing franchise the way the MCU has, and you know, you're in the bar trying to win, you know, a free round of nachos.
Yeah.
And they ask, what was the first DC Films film? The answer to that is Super Slash Man, the Christopher Reeve story. It's not going to Yeah, go ahead.
Creature Commandos being announced as the kind of first in the DC universe. At first, I was kind of curious as to what that meant and how these you know, mediums were going to cross over. But I think we're starting to get an idea of that with characters that may be appearing in series that are going to be released, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting because the genesis of that particular project came before James Gunn even got hired to run DC.
Right.
He basically wrote this on spec because he liked the idea. He liked the concept from the comics of these, you know, basically old school monsters that were sent out to fight, you know, fight in wars, which is what the original concept of the Creature Commandos was. So he wrote this thing on spec and they bought it. And then they said, oh, we're going to, you know, put you in charge of the universe. And he said, okay, well, you know, this is the first thing ready to go. So this is going out there. And that's been one of the things that has me hopeful about where we're going with DC, and that's really what this is going to be about, because obviously the only thing we've seen so far is Creature Commandos, so we can't talk too much about what got us here. We can a little bit. You've got, you know, some of Gunn's other projects that are in some way staying in continuity.
Suicide Squad has to be brought up in that conversation, considering the release of Peacemaker.
Yeah, but there's been a trailer that's dropped for Peacemaker that actually calls some of that into question too. So we'll get into detail on all of it. But one of the things that I admire about what James Gunn and Peter Safran have been at least publicly saying about what they're doing with DC is that they're not putting projects in front of a camera until they feel like the screenplay is ready to go. It has been, you know, in fairness, a criticism of Marvel that that's not what they do. And some, it has just sometimes really worked out really well for them, and sometimes it hasn't. They have gone to start shooting films without having a finished screenplay more than once, going all the way back to the original Iron Man. And that worked because of the people that were working on it. Some people can work that way and some people can't. The films that were not done that way at Marvel were James Gunn's three Guardians of the Galaxy films.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not even, you know, setting a release date on these films until they feel like they've got a screenplay that they're ready to shoot. Versus a lot of the other studios that set these release dates and then have to meet them. And that's how you end up with things that, well, let's just be honest. That's how you end up with Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's exactly what happened there. That, you know, that's, so I think that it's the right creative decision to move forward on the projects that are ready to move forward. And while they announced a big slate of projects, I think it's been close to 2 years ago now. Some of them are coming to fruition faster than others. A couple of them have been put officially or unofficially on hold, and a couple of new things have been announced. So because they've gotten pitches that they thought were really good and that were ready to go, and there was no reason not to move them up. They fit in thematically with what they were trying to do. Major case in point being this, this Clayface movie that is being done by, what's the guy that does all of the, Mike Flanagan.
Yeah, director.
Why do I always forget his name?
I don't know.
I don't either, but it's like the third time it's come up in the last week where I just could not come up with that name. Yeah, Mike Flanagan gave them a pitch for a Clayface movie that they thought was fantastic, and so they're moving forward with the Clayface movie. And the first grouping of films, the phase, if you will, is called Gods and Monsters, and certainly Clayface fits into that thematically. So it makes some sense. Meanwhile, you've had a project like The Authority, which is being at least set up in Superman, and that we're seeing one of the characters from The Authority in this movie, but they've backburnered that project because they haven't been able to crack the script yet. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I agree with you.
So given James Gunn's history of personal quality of the things that he's been involved with, I don't think that there is a movie with his name on it. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't think there's a movie with his name on it that I think is unwatchable.
No. As much as I can think of off the top of my head, everything that he's done has been more than good. I mean,
even
know,
if he's just there as a producer on something like the Belko Experiment or Brightburn.
Brightburn was cool.
You know, and I think he had a writing credit on Belko Experiment, if I remember correctly. I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, those movies were a lot of fun. They may not be like stuff that sticks in your mind forever the way something like Guardians does. But, you know, and everything that he's written, I mean, I've said this before and I'll say it again. The problems with the two live action Scooby-Doo theatrical releases are not the fault of the screenplay by James Gunn. Both of those screenplays are pretty good screenplays. The first one in particular, I think, is really good.
My problem with it, and this is a side tangent, it's still Warner Brothers and James Gunn related, so we're still kind of in the pocket, but they're supposed to be solving mysteries, and there was no mysteries in it because they were actually supernatural. What's going on? But whatever.
I mean, that maybe is true of the second one. I don't think it's true of the first one.
Oh, is it not? Maybe I'm mixing them up.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on the second one, but the first one, there was very much a pull the mask off the person at the end, or the character at the end, and find out who's really behind it all.
I wonder if I've seen the first Scooby-Doo. Maybe I've only seen the second one.
Which, I mean, I thought was actually one of the most brilliant things about that movie.
Man, I need to watch that again.
Spoiler alert. I'll spoil it here at the end of the segment. The villain was Scrappy-Doo.
Yeah, which was awesome. I remember now.
Which was awesome. We got to take a break. Yeah. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I'm your host, Julio Diaz. Harkening back to the days when Michael Stipe still had hair. We're playing that obviously because we're talking about everything that's going on at DC, and kind of key to what's going on at DC is Superman. Ironically, you know, REM was on Warner Brothers Records, but not when they made that song.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, of course, Warner Brothers Records isn't part of Warner Brothers conglomerate anymore. Yeah, that's a whole other issue. These internecine things that happen in corporate entertainment are just freaking ridiculous. The big thing is we're 5 weeks away from Superman. The trailers are out there hitting hard. It's the TV spots are out there. So you're not going to be able to ignore this movie. You may not go see it, but you're going to know it exists. So they're doing their job in that regard, Jeremy. What are your general feelings about what you've seen in trailers so far, and in what you're hearing in the background, and how do you feel confident about this movie?
Boy, I do like the last trailer that I saw. If there's new stuff that's come out in the last couple of weeks, I might have actually missed that. The last trailer that I saw was the Lois Lane interviews Superman trailer. Mm-hmm. I think it was the second trailer that was released. And I enjoyed it more than I enjoyed the first trailer. I feel like it gave me a little bit more kind of understanding of the character dynamics between he and Lois, between Lex and Superman, and just kind of a better idea about what to expect thematically. And was surprised that they are kind of exploring the moral questions similar to what Zack Snyder might have been doing with Man of Steel. Now, I know Snyder's a divisive filmmaker. I thought Man of Steel was decent, and I thought, you know, Cavill was a good Superman, but I'm not one of these people that, like, Cavill is the only Superman and nobody else can ever, you know, do what he did and that was the superior version. It's not like that. It's just that Superman is not a character that I have historically gravitated to. So I think adding in those kind of existential questions about, like, a man kind of operating on his own outside of any sort of, like, jurisdiction or affiliation to any countries and of allegiance and stuff is cool. I think that's a cool thing to explore. So I like a lot of that. Both of us are James Gunn fans. I think when I look at James Gunn's filmography, when he makes superhero movies, he kind of has made the same superhero movie over and over and over again, and even did the same superhero movie in Creature Commandos, and even did the same superhero movie in Peacemaker. So, like, I'm interested to see how he handles a character who is so much more earnest. This is something that I've said in the past, and I see a lot of James Gunn-isms in the trailer that I'm just like, stop making the same movie over and over again with, like, the giant alien creature that he's fighting in the shot. So, like, I'm a little bit concerned with it. And we'll talk about the Elseworld stuff here in a little bit, but specifically to Superman, I am cautiously optimistic, but have a bit of cynicism attached to that.
I mean, that's the thing about Superman is Superman, when he's done right, is kind of the opposite of cynicism.
Yes.
You know, he is, you know, Snyder went about that, trying to do that, but he did it in a ham-handed way of, like, oh, on my planet, this stands for hope. You know, but he said it, but he didn't mean it. Because Snyder has a very cynical worldview. And I think that that's where these two films are really going to differ, is I think that Gunn gets Superman in a way that I don't think Snyder did. I think Snyder was trying to do a modern take, and I think that Gunn is too, but the world may be modern, but Superman can still be kind of old-fashioned, and that's okay.
They definitely casted Ma and Pa Kent as similar to the way Raimi did in the Spider-Man movies, where, like, they're more salt of the earth looking people, and I think a lot of fans are going to like that stuff. I don't have a preference one way or the other, but I still feel like it's yet to be seen whether he gets Superman or not. He's certainly paying lip service to it, and it seems to me from fans that the trailers are capturing something in it that they really like. So I still feel like the jury's still out.
So this is the thing. This is something I've said before, and I've kind of harped on before, but I think this is where we're going to see the real difference here. If you want to talk about the DC universe done properly, whether we're talking about in films and comics or whatever, the linchpin character is not Batman. It's not Superman. It's not Wonder Woman. It's not Darkseid. It's not, you know, any of these characters. The linchpin of the DC universe is Jonathan Kent.
Mm.
The Jonathan Kent is the, what he represents is the longstanding question of nature versus nurture. It is the nurturing of Superman by Jonathan Kent to grow up with that kind of influence that makes him the man that he is. It's not the powers that he got. It's not his, you know, Kryptonian heritage. It's, you know, if you take that same baby rocketed from a doomed planet and put him in, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, you know, somebody who's, I don't want to get into real world examples here where I'm
Lex Luthor even.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's say he's raised by Lionel Luthor, Lex Luthor's father.
Okay.
He's not the same man.
Mm-hmm.
It is the fact that Jonathan Kent is a good salt of the earth man who has old fashioned values and upbringing and cares about people and wants to help his fellow man. And, you know, is not somebody who, you know, somebody who sees everybody as a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And teaches his son that.
It's so wild, and it's so hard to pull any fiction away from any real life parallels, but
that
seems like a political statement to some people, and that is troubling, but hopefully this movie can do something to make people that maybe don't see things that way reassess them. I'm just concerned there are people that aren't going to watch it because of that.
There are people that are going to see it that way. And you know what? Go back and read the original Superman comics by Siegel and Schuster.
Yeah.
I mean, it was there from the beginning.
Yeah,
it was absolutely there from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So, but I think that is the difference between Snyder's Superman and what appears to be Gunn's Superman is that Snyder wanted to do a Superman who has been raised by this guy who's kind of paranoid and afraid of the world. And that's kind of understandable given the state of the world.
Uh-huh.
But that's not who Superman is.
Yeah.
And that, so then you end up with the Cavill Superman not really being Superman until after he dies and comes back. Like, you know, making him even more of a Jesus figure than he already is. So it's just, I think that's the central thing. I think you get Jonathan Kent right, literally everything else that follows in the DC universe follows.
Because, and what do you think what we've seen?
Because Superman becomes the guidepost. Superman becomes the North Star that all of the other heroes look to for guidance. No matter whether they agree.
Gives a little bit of like monologue in it. Did you think that is nailing what you're talking about?
Yeah, I did actually. The key scene in the most recent trailer is with Lois introducing Superman and her, you know, pressuring him about, you know, trying to basically make him see what the world's going to say about what he's done. And he finally erupts with the suit while dressed as Clark with the Superman voice saying people were going to die. That to me was like right there. Okay. He gets it.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
And it's this thing of Superman as a figure in the comics, and I'm talking about within the world, of the comics and in the real world, because everything that came after Superman is a reaction to Superman. Everything that came after Superman in the world of the comics is a reaction to Superman, either pro or con. In the same way that musically, everything that came after the Beatles is a reaction to the Beatles, either embracing it or contradicting it. You get into hip hop, everything that came after Straight Outta Compton is either embracing what Straight Outta Compton did or reacting to it negatively. There are certain pieces of work over the history of creativity that just have that kind of impact. And both metatextually in the real world and that everything that came out of heroic fantasy, not just comic books, but heroic fantasy after Superman is a reaction to Superman. There's no other superhero or other like, there's no other like heroic fantasy character that I can think of after 1938 that doesn't in some way track back to Superman. And I'm not just talking about analogs like Invincible or The Sentry or any of these recent things that we've seen. I'm talking about there's no Batman without Superman. There's no, you know, there's no Captain America. There's no Spider-Man. There's no Fantastic Four. There's no, you know, you name it. There's no Spawn. There's no comic book industry.
There is a really valid comparison in my mind between Captain America and between Superman. And it's not like they're not a one-to-one by any means, but Captain America was a character that embodied a set of ideals that didn't particularly resonate with me pre-Chris Evans portraying the character in the MCU. So there's absolutely a version of Superman that can win me over. I'm really hoping this is it. And I'm open to it. I it's yet to be seen, but I really do think that with the right, you know, person steering the ship, that it's possible to bring out the essence of this character in a way that resonates with contemporary audiences, you know?
Well, we've got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
I can hold you now. If you want to fly, can't you see I'm all broke up inside? I'll choose to use your two X-ray eyes. Hurt like kryptonite. Put me on my knees. Now that
and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line. Man, I love that song. That's really Supergirl by XTC. I hope they find a way to use that in the Supergirl movie. That might be a little on the nose, maybe, but you know, James Gunn does like his needle drops, although he's not directing that one, so maybe that won't be such an element of that film. But yeah, that is the second film that we're going to get from the DC film slate, which just finished shooting, actually, just finished principal photography. So it's coming out next year. So we've got about a year for them to work on post-production. This is another thing I think that I want to say that I like what they're doing here with DC films, which makes me feel good about where we're going with this, is they're not rushing things. They're not, you know, working their visual effects artists to the bone to not have enough time to actually do quality effects. They're taking these projects one at a time. They're giving them enough post-production time to get things done right so that they look good. And I will say, you know, what we've seen of Superman so far, I don't hear anybody complaining about the effects.
No, it looks great.
Yeah, I mean, it looks. You may think that it looks too bright, or it looks, you know, too colorful, or it looks goofy, but nobody's saying the effects look bad.
I'm curious about, okay, because as you said, James Gunn has kind of made the choice to allow the screenplays to develop and then greenlight the projects as they go. There was a kind of slate released at one point, and it's evolved since then, and they've kind of shuffled some things around, and I'm good with all of that. My question is, and I think he's spoken to it, but I didn't know if you had any kind of specific information on it. Is there a, how interconnected are we to expect these movies to be? Are they all building towards one thing? Or are they all kind of just existing in this universe? Has he talked about that you know of?
I mean, it has been a at least lip service is being paid towards telling good stories first and then worrying about how they connect later.
Mm-hmm.
So while I don't think they're going to like try to do anything that directly negates anything else, they're going to try to make sure it ties together, and they're certainly doing things to set up a larger world. You know, first of all, we're seeing in this Superman film that we're coming into it after Superman already exists for a while, and B, we're seeing that there are other superheroes and characters in this world. We see, you know, Guy Gardner and Hawk Girl and Metamorpho and Mr. Terrific. And there is a version of the Justice League that somewhere people are saying it's the Justice Gang. I don't know that was actually said in the trailer, but but that name's been used in more than one place for me to think that it must be actually official. Which, okay, that's fine. You know, if you want to say, okay, we don't have a Justice League yet, we have a Justice Gang, that's fine. I think it's kind of silly, but that's okay. But yeah, you know, there's a broader world here, and we're starting to see this already, because we did get a new trailer for Peacemaker season 2, and we've seen a couple of characters that are in the Superman movie show up in this trailer.
And one of the characters from Creature Commandos is going to end up in the series.
He's going to be in the series, and he's going to be in the Superman film. He's in the trailer for the Superman film as well.
Oh, I didn't pick that up. Yeah, Frank Grillo.
Frank Grillo playing Rick Flagg Sr. is going to be a key character. And that's another thing that Gunn has done that I really do like. He has said when we cast somebody, they're going to play that character across mediums. So
that is cool.
Rick Flagg in Creature Commandos, played by Frank Grillo. Frank Grillo is going to continue to play that character in live action. If we see any of the other characters from Creature Commandos in live action, we're going to see them played by the same actors. And we've already seen also some of the characters that we've seen in some of these films that in some way still continue into the new continuity. Namely Amanda Waller. We've seen her continue to be played by Viola Davis in animation.
Uh-huh.
You know, we've seen John Economos played by Steve Agee. We saw him show up in Peacemakers. We also saw him show up in Creature Commandos, again, still voiced by Steve Agee. So if we ever see, you know, the version of Frankenstein from Creature Commandos in live action, David Harbour will play that character.
I love that. And any apprehension that I have about Superman and kind of not knowing what we're getting from it, I love Peacemaker. You guys can go back and listen to previous episodes of Let's Go Pensacola where both Julio and I just really enjoyed it from episode to episode. Season 2 doesn't look to be any different. The trailers are phenomenal. I really like what they're doing with that character as a kind of a spinoff to the Suicide Squad, which James Gunn directed. And it, you know, was released during the pandemic era where it was direct to video at the same time as going, or direct to streaming at the same time as it hit the theaters. It didn't set the box office on fire, but it was really well received among people who saw it. So I'm excited about that. When you and I were talking about continuity between these, and I think it was in the kind of Warner Brothers discussion that we did, is there something in this trailer for Peacemaker that you feel like might be at odds with something that happened in the other series?
Well, what Gunn has said basically about what remains in continuity versus what is no longer in continuity is that if we mention it, it happened. If we don't mention it, it probably didn't happen, or it may not have happened, or it didn't happen the way it happened. So I think that everything that happened in the first Peacemaker series is going to be in continuity except for the Justice League appearance.
Oh, yeah, because at the very end of the season, we get these silhouetted appearances from what looked to be the, you know, at the time, the DCEU versions of the character. So perhaps that part is just going to be sidestepped.
Well, and we also got actual on-camera Aquaman and Flash.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, which obviously they're not going to continue with Ezra Miller. You know, enough said about that. And we also know,
multiverse shenanigans, or are they just not going to address it?
Well, I think they are going to address it, because one of the things that we see in this new trailer for Peacemaker that's out is that, you know, it was established in the first episode, the first season of Peacemaker, that he has this kind of pocket dimension that his dad had access to, where all of his arsenal is stored.
Uh-huh.
And we see him enter in that, in this trailer, enter that that pocket dimension and encounter himself.
Mm.
So he is encountering another version of himself from another universe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we are still going to have some kind of multiversal thing going on here, and there are a lot of people predicting what that means. I don't know what it means and what it doesn't mean, but I think that this is going to be the explanation for where we are now. I think that in some way we're going to see the Peacemaker we've come to know and love come over to this universe and maybe take the place of the Peacemaker that's in this universe already.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I'm into it. Do you know what the release on this series is?
I'm not sure off the top of my head. Would need to double check, but I don't think we're too far off of them. It's definitely coming after the movie. But
September, August 21st, it looks like.
August 21st.
To...
Yeah, so it's going to run August through October. So, yeah, I mean, very much looking forward to that. I think it's a good... like you loved the first season of the show. I'm kind of okay with it just being, hey, what we mentioned happened and what we didn't. I don't think we necessarily have to get an explanation, but I'm open-minded. I think Gunn has good ideas. This is, again, he's written all of this. He's directing a couple of episodes. You know, as long as it's as good as the first one, we're getting all these characters back, I say we continue. There are things I would like to continue from the old DCEU. And I am kind of fine with it being... I know that there's been a gripe about, oh, well, he's only going to bring over the stuff he worked on and everything else is going to go away. I'd kind of be okay with that.
I mean, that's kind of the privilege of being the guy who's in charge. Yeah. I agree with you. I don't see how, like, that doesn't make sense to people. Those are the people that he picked the first time, the people he enjoys working with.
And
so
some
of
them aren't.
Continue that.
Some of them are not people that he picked. In fairness, some of them are people that Zack Snyder picked and that David Ayer picked.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that if it means we get to keep Viola Davis as Amanda Waller, because she's incredible. Mm-hmm. I am okay with... I absolutely hope they keep Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn.
She's phenomenal as that character.
She is. Now, are there other actors that I would have liked to have seen continue? Yeah, I would have liked to have seen Gal Gadot continue as Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to get that, but I would have liked to have seen it. But so it remains to be seen, but we'll talk about this more when we come back. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hey!
is Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line, and we are discussing what's going on with DC Films, where we seem to be going. I know we're a little ahead of the game here because we're 5 weeks ahead of Superman, really kind of coming out of the gates and really kicking things off here. But we've got a few other things to discuss. One of the things I want to discuss is quickly before we get into other things that are already in production is some things that have kind of popped up and gone by the wayside. You know, we had this announcement of an Authority film, and that's been kind of backburnered now. We had this whole slate of stuff that has been announced that we haven't heard a whole lot of progress on beyond the two films that are already done shooting and the Lantern series, which is currently in production, which we'll talk a little bit about that more in a minute. But we also had some things that have been announced since that initial slate that have kind of gone one way or the other. I mentioned that there's a Clayface project in the works from Mike Flanagan, which sounds interesting. Sounds like a cool body horror story, which is a good thing to do with that story for sure. There's also this dynamic duo movie, this family animated movie that's going to focus on a couple of the Robins. And it's being done in kind of a stop motion style, as I understand it.
Yeah, that looks cool.
Yeah, they're saying their production goal is to do two live action films and one animated film per year, as well as two live action and two animated series for now HBO Max per year. So we're not quite at that point yet. But a couple other things that have been floating around out there. One is this, as you just heard XTC singing about Sergeant Rock. There was a Sergeant Rock movie that was in the works from Luca Guadagnino, who did Challengers and a number of other interesting films. Was going to repartner with Daniel Craig on this after having just done the movie Queer last year that Daniel Craig got a lot of Oscar buzz out of, although ended up not getting nominated. And then Daniel Craig backed out of it, and Colin Farrell was going to come on and play the lead role. Interesting, because he's already playing Penguin in Matt Reeves' separate universe that's kind of an offshoot here. They call it Elseworlds. But now that movie's been put on hold. They're saying it's not canceled, that it's just being pushed back. So that's a project that I'm interested in. That's a project that also ties into Creature Commandos, because we did see Sergeant Rock in Creature Commandos briefly. But then speaking of Matt Reeves, you know, the big question mark has been his second Batman movie. Now, they have set up this thing in the DC film slate where they have a thing called Elseworlds, where there are projects that take place outside of the mainline universe. So Matt Reeves' Batman and the Penguin series, they're off in their own little universe. The Joker movies, they're off in their own little universe. The Harley Quinn animated series is off in its own universe. Teen Titans Go, which is continuing, off in its own universe. But now there's a question mark as to whether the Matt Reeves universe is continuing. There are heavy rumors that he's dropped out of directing the Batman 2. And it's just rumors at this point. Nothing's confirmed. I don't see the point of making that movie without Matt Reeves involved in it. Do you?
Oh, man. So look, I would, without the Penguin, I would 100% agree with you. However, I feel like Matt Reeves set the tempo, and now all anybody else has to do is come in and follow the beat, right? Like,
well, maybe.
I thought that Matt Reeves' The Batman is the best Batman movie I've ever seen. It's my favorite, hands down. I think The Penguin is an incredible show, and I know that, you know, without Christopher Nolan's Batman, maybe we wouldn't have got the version that we did with Reeves, but I'm so much more interested and invested in that side of DC storytelling. I love the, and we talked about this with Marvel and stuff, the vigilantism and the crime aspects of it and more grounded world. And I thought Zoe Kravitz was incredible as Catwoman. So I say all that to say Matt Reeves established a really good world to live in. If I were to pick, I would say, oh my God, of course, let Matt Reeves be the guy. But I have enough confidence after seeing The Penguin that if Matt Reeves works closely with the people, they follow his vision, and he is collaborative in the writing process, which as of now, as of last I heard, he's still on as a writer. So, like, I feel like they could still make a really good Matt Reeves-inspired Batman movie, even if he's not actually directing the film.
I mean, you have a good point about The Penguin, because he didn't direct that. He was involved creatively, but he didn't direct it, and it was fantastic, and I do want to see more of that storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely want to see more of that storyline. Just if nothing else, I want to see more of Christian Milioti. And I want to see more of Colin Farrell as Penguin, because he's amazing, and there's a reason that he's winning all kinds of awards for it. I just don't know. It's such a singular vision that I really want to see that vision continue. But we are also going to get James Gunn's vision of Batman. There is going to be a Batman movie made within the DC universe of films that's being called The Brave and the Bold. That's going to be a Batman and Robin story with the Damian Wayne Robin, the actual son of Batman, who's been Robin in the comics for more than a decade now. So I don't know if there's a mixed message there either. You know, I don't know if having two Batman, it works for me because I've grown up with multiverses and I can keep things straight, but sometimes it seems like the public can't.
And if this Superman movie does really well, it might be the excuse that DC needs to kill the Matt Reeves Batman movies.
It would have to do way better than Matt Reeves Batman did.
Yes.
It'd have to
and
do.
And the
like,
reason why I say that is because I do feel like there's a little bit of conflict of, do we really need two Batman movies that are essentially kind of competing with each other, potentially cannibalizing each other, confusing audiences, all of that kind of stuff, even though, to your point, like, a lot of people are familiar with multiverses at this point, but they're so different in terms of vision. But, like, if Matt Reeves, the Batman, ends up being a standalone, one-off Batman movie, I will always love it. I think it's incredible. The potential is there that the second one comes out and sucks, and I don't really want that to happen. But at the same time...
Joker 2! Excuse me.
Yeah, there's that. I don't know, man. I would be a little disheartened to find out that the James Gunn universe swallows up what Matt Reeves did, because I do think it's... I think it's special. I'm surprised by how many people that I talked to that it just wasn't for them, and that's okay. It is a very slow and long and ponderous movie and pretty serious as far as superhero stuff goes, but man, I don't know. I was hoping for a trilogy from Matt Reeves.
Well, and you talk about benchmarks for success. $200 million budget, $772 million worldwide. So, again, profitable.
Respectable.
Profitable.
Yeah.
Didn't make $1 billion. And there are some people that fault it for that. But I think those people are wrong. I think going forward, because fewer people go to the movies now, the $1 billion mark is going to be reached much, much less frequently.
Yeah, you're right about that. I think that's a good point.
Yeah. So there's that floating around out there. Of course, we actually haven't seen anything about The Brave and the Bold either. We don't, we don't have a Batman cast within the DCEU yet. We don't.
Glenn Powell.
DCU.
You're welcome.
You know, that's a name that's floated around out there. It's not the only one, but that is one that's floated around out there. I know Alan Ritchson has thrown his own name out there quite a bit.
Who's that?
That's Reacher.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Really wants
guy.
To be Batman. And a guy that's played more than one DC character in the past as well, because he was Aquaman on Smallville. And he was Hawk on Titans.
Uh-huh.
So, so there's some history there, too. So the only other thing that we have that we know for sure is going forward on a timeline is that the Lantern series is shooting right now. And this is the one that I'm personally most excited about, I think.
I'm intrigued.
My immediate excitement is for the Superman movie. But... my long-term excitement is because I am such a Green Lantern fan. Is, my favorite superhero is Hal Jordan. We're going to get this series. from Axe that's going to be basically kind of like a buddy cop mystery with Hal Jordan and John Stewart as, you know, these, you know, earthbound Green Lanterns. We know that the Green Lantern that we've already seen in this universe, Guy Gardner, played by Nathan Fillion, is also going to show up in the series. So Fillion's showing up quite a lot for somebody who's already got a 22-episode-a-season network television show going on.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure they're still doing 22 episodes of The Rookie, but The Rookie is continuing. Do you have any thoughts about this this Lantern series at all before we wrap up?
Really excited. Really excited. I love the people that are attached to it, from the people behind the scenes to the actual casting of the Lanterns themselves. I like the way that they're pitching it and kind of tying it to something like True Detective, which early season and even the last season was pretty good, but a beloved and prestigious show. So I'm hype about it. I think that's one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, so we'll see where we go from here. 5 short weeks till Superman, and I'm sure we will be talking about that in depth once it comes out. Until then, you're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.